Let's pray using the chorus of that song that we just sang. Lord, we pray that we, your people, who your gifts unnumbered claim, through the sharing of your blessings, may bring glory to your name. In Jesus we pray it. Amen. You may be seated, church. Let's begin by doing something a little bit fun. Let's turn to somebody that you know and give them your opinion of what the first word usually is out of a baby's mouth. What's the first word a baby learns to say? Go ahead and share that with somebody. Okay, sounds like you were having some fun with that. What were some of the answers that we came up with? Data? Wah? What?
No.
Money? Mama? Bunny? Funny. Oh, okay. You know what I think the first word out of a baby's mouth usually is? Mine. And the reason why I think that is because once they start to crawl around and be able to reach things, and they grab a hold of something, where's the first place that that thing goes? Right into their mouth. As if they're thinking, everything that I see, everything that I can touch is mine. And we continue to do this even when we're adults. If there's one cupcake left on the plate and you're sitting at the table, you'll grab that cupcake and lick it to call dibs on it so that nobody else gets it. I mean, we come into the world believing this, that everything that we see and everything that we can get our hands on is mine. And that's why it's so precious that God gives us the gift of baptism, either at a font here or one just like it, where we are reborn again, where we are recreated into people who go from thinking that everything is mine into people who look heavenward and say everything is yours. That becomes the struggle for the rest of our lives as Christians. Going from our natural inclination to believe that everything is about me and everything is mine to being people who look heavenward and say to the Lord, everything is yours. So on this Trinity Sunday, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the glory of God our Father who created us and then recreates us during baptism. God our Father who makes it so that we, his people, can see a vision, just like Paul had a vision, as we're going to talk about it shortly from the epistle lesson. God, our Heavenly Father, has given a vision to our Redeemer. A vision we're calling 2020. A vision that we're praying is going to come true through us as God seeks to work through us. And that's going to take us going from people who think that everything is mine to people who think that everything is yours. Let's remember the story that we heard it in the epistle lesson. The setting for our story is the country of Greece. And in Paul's day, there were several churches in Corinth that Paul was writing to. He was writing to them about a topic that was a vision for him, that the churches in Jerusalem would be blessed. See, the churches in Jerusalem were very, very poor. They were going through a terrible time. So everywhere that Paul is going on his missionary journeys, like to the churches in Corinth, he is taking up a collection and sending it back to Jerusalem, to the churches there, to aid in their relief. And when Paul is talking to the churches in Corinth about generosity, he holds up as the standard of generosity the churches of Macedonia. Now, Macedonia is in northern Greece. And northern Greece was the place where Alexander the Great was born and where his whole empire had begun. And the Roman Empire, when they came into power, totally devastated the whole country of Macedonia, where Alexander the Great had come from, so that they could never again rise as a world power. So anybody who lived in Macedonia was dirt poor, desperately poor. And yet the churches there, Paul said, were the models of grace. They were more generous than any of the other churches that Paul had encountered as he was taking up his collection for the churches of Jerusalem. They begged him, Paul said, to be a part of the offering that he was taking up. And they gave not out of their wealth, but out of their poverty. It was an odd place to learn about generosity, Macedonia. One wouldn't expect that they would be able to give the way that they did. But they were so filled with grace that the Father had lavished on them that they couldn't help themselves. It was an odd place to learn about giving. I learned about giving in an odd place too, in a place called McDonald's. I remember the day that I went into this McDonald's and I was in a bad mood. I don't remember why. I just was. I was in a snit about something. And I ordered my food. And you know how at McDonald's you order and within like a minute or two, the food is there, just like magic. Well, this was not one of those times. I ordered something and it just wasn't coming. And remember, I was already in a bad mood. So I'm standing at the counter with my arms folded and a frown on my face and heaving deep sighs and looking irritated. And a manager saw me and he came over from the back and he said, "Sir, are you waiting for your order?" And I said, "Yeah, I've been waiting for like a minute and a half." And he said, "Well, let me go check your order for you." And he goes and he checks and he sees that my order isn't ready yet. And he comes back to me with a chocolate shake in his hand. And he says, "Sir, because you have to wait because your order's not ready, please enjoy this chocolate shake on us as a way of saying we're sorry." And I said, "Fine." So another couple minutes go by, and it's still not ready. He sees me still waiting, looking more irritated than ever. And he comes over to me and says, "Sir, I've noticed that you didn't order French fries with your order. So when your tray comes, there will be a large order of fries on your tray just for you." And I said, "Okay." So when it was ready, not only did he personally deliver the tray to me, on it were also heaped a couple of apple pies and stuff like that, you know. And he said, "Sir, this is for you because you had to wait." And I said, okay, I get it. I'm sorry. I was a jerk. You see what he did to me? Even though I didn't deserve it, he kept on giving me generously things that I didn't have coming to me because I was acting like a jerk. And he didn't have to do that, but he did. And that is a small example of the way that we are treated by our loving God. As Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, shows us, we are given grace while we are still sinners. He died for us so that we might be changed. The guy from McDonald's totally changed my attitude with his acts of love. And it's the same way, only better, only more strong, only more beautiful with our Savior Jesus. His act of sacrifice on that cross for us inspires us to want to be a part of what he's doing, to want to be a part of the vision that he has for our Redeemer. It's not that we have to do it, it's that we get to do it. And we sit here with a destiny, with a mission, with a future, because we are the forgiven children of God. Forgiven by what he did for us in taking our place, taking our punishment, taking all that we had coming to us. And so that's why the Macedonians gave, Paul says, because they were filled with grace. And they acted out on this grace, and in spite of their poverty, in spite of the fact that they couldn't afford to, they gave generously, more generously than anyone else, to the churches in Jerusalem. And Paul tells the Corinthians, be like those Macedonians. Trust that grace which is within you. It should never be the case that we in the church should feel like we're guilted into giving, or that we're having the squeeze put on us to give more. It should always be the case that it's the gracious love of God that moves us, motivates us to want to be a part of what he's doing and to be generous people, because that's the people he's made us to be. It reminds me of the story of the strong man in the circus that I heard once. You've seen the strong men at the carnival, at the circus, the guys with all the muscles, and they're wearing that leopard skin leotard, you know. I heard about the strong man in one circus whose act was he would bring out an orange onto stage, and he'd cut that orange in half, and he'd take that half of an orange and squeeze it in his massive fist until every drop of juice possible was out of that orange. And then he'd hold it out to the audience, and he'd dare anyone to come forward and squeeze one more drop of juice out of that orange. And no one was ever able to do it, except one day when an old, totally ordinary looking guy came up the steps to the platform, took that orange, held it up, and squeezed, and not one but like six or seven drops squeezed out of it. And the crowd went crazy. And the circus strongman said, "Who are you? How did you do that?" And the guy said, "Ah, I'm the treasurer at Our Redeemer Lutheran Church. I do this all week long." Now that should be the way that it never is. You realize that. That should never be the case that God's vision lacks resources. It should never be the case that we feel like we're being squeezed, because God has given us everything that is necessary for the future that he will create. That's what we said in the confession today. We have everything we need to go forward into the future that God has crafted, has created for us. Just like Paul's vision was blessing for the churches of Jerusalem, so God's vision for us, Vision 2020, is unveiling. And this fall we are going to be talking a lot about this vision God has given. And I'll be here to share that work with you, because I'm going to be your capital campaign consultant from Lutheran Church Extension Fund. I get to be a part of this with you. I couldn't be more excited. All this is the work of the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity, the one who comes and conveys God's grace to us, that one who comes and inspires us to generous giving that is done cheerfully. Do you remember what Paul said about cheerful giving? He said about the Macedonians, and he says about us, each one should give what he has decided to give from the heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, God loves a giver who cheerfully wants to be a part of what he's doing in his world, in his church, in this community. Cheerful giving is the kind of giving that was done by this young kid I heard about, whose name was Dustin, who was given Smarties to eat by his mom during church because she figured Smarties kept him quiet. You know what Smarties are? They're kind of chalky tasting, sweet tart, and they come individually wrapped. Dustin loved Smarties, and his mom made sure he always had a big supply. And one day, an usher was walking by when Dustin popped a Smarties into his mouth, and he said, "Hey, how about one for me?" And Dustin smiled real big and put a Smarties in the usher's hand, and the usher ate it. And from then on, that became their thing. Every Sunday, when that usher saw Dustin, he would come up to Dustin and say, "Where's my Smartie?" And Dustin would smile big and give him a Smartie. And then the usher found out that Dustin's mom gave him his Smarties supply every Monday morning. He would unwrap all of them and put them loosely into his pants pocket and transfer them from one pants pocket to the next all week long, so that by the time Sunday morning came, the reminders were kind of gross and sweaty and linty, and you know, but the usher didn't care. He ate that Smartie like it was the best thing that had ever happened to him, and you should have seen the smile on Dustin's face. That's cheerful giving. That's giving that brings joy. Because there are times when in our giving lives, we do bring something to God and give it to Him, something that looks maybe a little bit less than wonderful, a little bit sweaty and linty. And yet God loves to receive from us when we give sacrificially, when we give from the heart, because we've decided we want to be a part of His vision in this world. So this fall, I'll be looking forward to working with you on this Vision 2020 endeavor as we walk together into the future. And do you remember those babies that we started out with about 10 minutes ago? Those babies that we said came into the world saying, "Mine." When the time comes for you as a member of our Redeemer to make a sacrificial commitment to the future, will you be like a newborn who says, "Mine"? Or will you be like one who has been touched by the amazing grace of God and say, "Yours"? Let's pray about that. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, on this Trinity Sunday, we bring before you this vision and ask that as you have given it to us, you will bless us, each one of us, so that when the time is right, we will have grown in faith, grown in grace, and we will look to you and with our sacrificial offerings say, "Yours." That's our prayer on this Trinity Sunday, and when in Jesus, in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit, we pray it. Amen.
Please rise.